This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Summer's here, and Nordstrom has everything you need for your best dress season ever. From beach days and weddings to weekend getaways and your everyday wardrobe, discover stylish options under $100 from tons of your favorite brands like Mango, Skims, Princess Polly, and Madewell. It's easy, too, with free shipping and free returns, in-store order pickup, and more. Shop today in-stores, online at Nordstrom.com, or download the Nordstrom app.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
What was it called?
The Rich Eisen Show.
Four for Sam Reinhart. He scores to make it five. The Florida Panthers are back-to-back Stanley Cup champions.
Live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Caitlin Clark hits the deck.
When the officials don't get control of the ballgame, I mean, bad officiating is bad officiating.
Earlier on the show, Ravens running back Derrick Henry, longtime director and producer Larry Charles. Still to come, Fox Sports NFL analyst Mark Schlereth. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Already had a fun 2 hours. Check it out on the Roku Sports Channel or the Rich Eisen Show Fast Channel once this is all over, if you're in the area of a Roku device or anything that has Roku on it. Select Samsung Smart TVs, Amazon Fire TV. There's so many different ways that you can get Roku, and we appreciate you checking us out every single day. There's our podcast, all 3 hours, and through the Cumulus Podcast Network. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Later on tonight, the great ladies of Women's Sports Now will have at it for their latest episode, hour long, and I'm sure a lot of what we just led the show with the Indiana Fever and the Connecticut Sun, thrown down on Tuesday night. I'm sure that will be a large part of their conversation on that show that hits as soon as midnight strikes this evening. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Mark Schlereth is going to come on and chop up the football world in a few on this third hour. Listen, there are times when you step in it, if you will, by having a guest on just as something newsworthy involves them, their team, their history, anything like that. And then you just miss stepping in it, which is good when it comes to, you know, anything from a dog, you know what I mean? That might be on the ground. you just miss stepping in it, which is not great for shows like this one. As soon as we got off the Zoom with Derrick Henry, the Ravens announced they signed Jaire Alexander.
Yes, sir.
A former college teammate of Lamar Jackson. So Louisville's in the house now, and there's Lamar with Jaire and the man who brought them back together, Eric DaCosta, the general manager of the Baltimore Ravens, who just get better on defense. We talked earlier today about how Lamar says that they're going to approach the season, he and the Ravens, with a sense of vengeance. Well, I mean, having Marlon Humphrey and Jaire Alexander on either side of, you know, Kyle Hamilton and the rest of the rookies that they drafted and the defense that is getting better every year, Roquan Smith right there in the middle of it, your guy from back in the day, Kyle Van Noy keeps on channeling his awesome Patriot days over and over again.
Yeah, man.
And offense with Derrick Henry back for more. And Lamar at the quarterback spot. And now DeAndre Hopkins. And I don't believe his diminishing skills. And I understand he didn't do very much with the Chiefs last year. being in a spot all season long, I from training camp all the way through, mini camp all the way through, I think will be helpful for Hopkins. And we hope Zay Flowers gets back healthy sooner rather than later, and we'll see what goes down. But a great signing, obviously. And Packers fans will be sitting there wondering what's going down on all that front. Why he couldn't stick around there anymore for whatever reason. They couldn't figure that whole thing out. And the Baltimore Ravens, later on this fall, will in fact see the Green Bay Packers week 17. So that's one that I'm sure Alexander's circling right now. That's the Ravens schedule that starts off again. At Buffalo, home for Cleveland, home for Detroit, at Kansas City, home for Houston, home for the Rams bye week. That's a rough 6 weeks. We will see how the Ravens navigate all of that. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. Mike in Richmond, Virginia. Let's take your phone call here. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Rich, can you hear me?
I can indeed.
Hello, Rich. Can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear me? Earth to Mike. Earth to Richmond, Virginia.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you. I'm calling because I sometimes Colin Coward has some good analyses, and he did an empirical one, and I agree with everything he said except his conclusion. He talked about how no great quarterback, and he went through all of them, did well on a team that had a defensive coach and a relatively unsuccessful offensive coordinator. Arthur Smith had one success in six seasons. He's a run-heavy guy.
Mm-hmm.
I think he had, well, he didn't say that. Oh, well, he didn't say that. That's me adding. But so he thought this was going to be a failure. I disagree, and here's why. Their play calling is so bad that, and I, if you want, I can go into why I think they
fell apart
at the end of the year last year. But Aaron Rodgers is going to call his own plays. And he's not going to listen to stupid play calls. So that gives the Steelers a chance. That actually gives them a chance.
I don't know, Mike. I don't.
Following the Steelers.
No, I hear you. I would say, do me a favor and call Colin's show and ask him about something I said. But Colin doesn't take phone calls on his program,
number.
So not because he doesn't give one out. Mike, no,
yeah,
no.
I'll look up his number.
No, I think Colin gave up taking phone calls from his listeners and viewers a while ago. But I appreciate the call. That's Mike in Richmond. I don't think Rodgers is going to ice out Arthur Smith. I don't see that one coming. Nor do I think Arthur Smith is the type of guy that will just stand there and take it. I know Rodgers has that, M.O., right, where McCarthy, he just didn't believe. Remember that? We were in New York when, was it an Athletic article? It was a Bleacher Report article came out that McCarthy was taking massages midday, and Rodgers was like, I'm done with this guy. I'm calling my own damn plays, and he wound up winning the MVP, and McCarthy gets bounced, and now here comes LaFleur. Will the two be able to coexist? They won 12 games a year every time that Rodgers was there, up until maybe the last year where he did win.
A couple more MVPs.
Right? And then obviously what happened with the Jets is like, I want my own personal play caller. And then he pushed back considerably on the fact that I think Diana Rossini reported that there was a list of players that he wanted to have.
And really, they all ended up on the Jets.
And he pushed, many of them did wind up there, but there was no list. But there was a hand-picked coordinator in Nathaniel Hackett who eventually got benched himself when the coach got fired. And so, obviously, he's got the MO of doing whatever he wants to do. But I think he and Arthur Smith are two very prideful, smart guys who are going to get in the same room and figure something out. The question is, do they have the skilled players on offense? Is it Jaylen Warren's time to be a full-time running back? Will they split the carries with the rookie that they drafted? What's going to happen at the receiver position? And is Rodgers, when he turns 42 in the middle of the season, still the Rodgers that can actually win a championship? And we do not know the answers to it, and we will not until toe meets ball. And, of course, the league sensed Rodgers was going to say yes to the Steelers and show up, as he has, because, again, there's no other reason to say, week one, let's just put the Steelers against the Jets. You know? They swapped quarterbacks. Let's go. Must-see TV. Somebody's going to be 1-0, and the team that's 0-1 will be licking wounds, man. That's for sure. But I would be surprised, to be honest with you, and you could call me naive, fine. I don't care. That this winds up with, as our caller just said, Rodgers overruling what Arthur Smith's doing in real time. Now, I'm not saying it won't happen at all, but I mean, just as a general rule, like, I don't care what the plays are. I'm audibling every single snap. I think he and Tomlin and Smith will be on the same page well enough. Now then, once upon a time, there was a Boston Red Sox who was really good at his job. Still is, actually. Won a championship for him. And he gets the news that the team signed somebody else at his position. And he wasn't happy about it. And as a matter of fact, when asked, would he be cool with it? It was obvious he wasn't. And then once upon a time, he was asked about, you know, playing first base, being DH. And he answered the question, would you be up for it, cool with it, you know, in two languages. A bilingual GFY. The guy's name was Rafael Devers.
Oh, him, yeah.
Wasn't really going to play. He wasn't happy about the aging.
No.
And then when told, you want to play first base? No. First base. Is that white square that's on the right side of the field?
Other side.
Like, is that the white square I'm running for as soon as I hit the ball? That first base? I don't think he would go full Abbott and Costello. Who's on third? Not me. Because it was on third. Well, I don't know who's on third, right?
Yeah. Third base.
Right. Who's on first?
Who's on
not
first?
Me.
Yeah, not me.
Yeah. That's what I meant to say.
What's on second? Not me.
Yeah, he was on second last night.
Oh, jeez.
When he ripped one of the right center field gap, but of that's not what I'm did. Bringing up about yeah. Rafael Devers' first game as a San Francisco Giant.
Yeah, doesn't even look right.
He was introduced as a San Francisco Giant. He came through the left field wall. They had these sparklers, whatever. Like, he's walking through the field, the warning track.
Yeah, they tried.
You know, like coming out of the corn. Devers coming out of left field.
He's eastbound and down.
Yeah.
It's not. It's more like this. At any rate, he was asked about playing other positions.
Oh.
Because you know they got Matt Chapman at third. He's excellent at that spot.
Correct.
You know? So third base is kind of taken in San Francisco. Hey, Rafi, what about playing first base? What about playing other positions? I'm wondering if he has a different thought now. See. Yes. Hit it.
One of the big kind of questions for you is, you know, there's a 5-time Gold Glover at third base already. He's not healthy right now, but once he returns, it's the matter of position. Have you talked to Buster and Bob about potentially playing first base? Do you see yourself more as a designated hitter? And what were those conversations with the Giants brass like regarding your long-term position with this team?
Gracias, Pablo. Yo estoy aquí para ayudar al equipo en lo necesario, en lo que ellos quieran. Soy uno más del equipo y estoy disponible a dar el 100% de mí, donde me pongan. No tengo ningún pero, no tengo ninguna decisión, solamente ellos tienen, son los jefes míos, juego donde me pongan.
I'm here to give my 100%. I don't put any buts. They're the men in charge. I am here to play wherever they want me to play.
They applauded. Guy's making $250 million, and he's like, I'll play wherever you want me to play. And they're like, yeah, whee. You know what that reminded me of?
Right.
Because that's what you'd expect somebody, like, you're being paid $250 million, you know. We need you here. you want to play there? And like, yeah, I'm here to do exactly because, you know why? I don't know. I'm less pissed off at these people than I was apparently where I used to be. And I'm not being disrespectful when I say this, but when I saw that the first time, I thought to myself, the last time there was a large ovation over something that was something stated so obviously based on what we're seeing and expecting, right, was when our kids were young and being potty trained, and they one of them looks at Susie and I and says, I just made a boom boom. We're like, yay. We all clapped. Yeah, everybody.
Yeah, that's
we
true.
We all clapped. Hey, you made a boom boom. Guess who was taking grounders at first before the game? Rafael Devers was taking grounders at first. Oh, man. You can't make it up, man.
Cool. All of this was very predictable.
I don't.
That he was going to say he was going to play first.
Was it,
of course
was it
was.
Like, was the communication just garbage? Or he had just had enough of being there and a change of scenery was required for everyone? Because that's the way it looks right now.
From what I've gathered, it was a mutual situation where they're both pretty sick of each other.
I mean, it's obvious, right?
Yeah.
Like, You're a Yankee killer of the first variety. We've won five in a row.
Yeah.
Just swept the Yankees. And you're our RBI king since the decade started. And we just got two prospects, two pitchers, one of whom was hurt, and the other one we optioned straight to AAA. And get out. Because the other team is willing to pay every penny left on the contract that has eight more years running.
Mm-hmm.
And the other guy's like, oh, I am just, there is no I in Devers. There's no I in Rafael. There's only an I in C. I will play first. There's an I in first. There's an I in third. There's an I in hit. And I am willing to do all of those things for you. If you ask.
Sayonara.
Dude.
Is there an I in that?
Yes. Adios. There is one in adios.
Full Ari Gold, TJ. Get the F out. Bye-bye.
Baseball.
So that's where you've landed on that now?
I've landed on after talking to some people that,
in the Boston area.
It's a better situation now for everyone involved. It's too bad. It's really unfortunate. This guy could have had a statue outside of Fenway someday, and he just not what he wanted. You know, not getting back to Big Poppy after he's reaching out, that's troubling.
There's an eye in Big and Poppy.
The last couple of off seasons coming into spring training, clearly overweight, not in shape, ready to start the new year. That's frustrating. That's been an issue. And let's just clean break. Good luck the rest of the way.
I think that's exactly what's happened. And Friday night, they're coming back together. And then once that's over, then you're truly turn their back on each other.
Yep.
Now I got to turn your back on. You know?
Yep.
But it was just,
jeez.
I'll do whatever they ask of me to do. I am a team player. Yeah, I am coming here. I will take grounders
cool,
at first.
Cool, cool.
I will be your first baseman. I will be your designated hitter. I will be your
major bummer.
I will be your father figure.
Put your tiny hand in mine.
Yeah.
Right?
Yay.
Hey, woo. Yay. Hey, you said you'd play first.
You go potty?
You grabbed your first baseman's glove.
Tatum gets hurt. Devers trade. Hey. Marshawn wins a cup with Florida. Like, put Drake May in bubble wrap until the season starts.
Fine.
Like, what are
we
doing?
Tiny violins all over the place
now,
buddy.
I totally understand
and
that.
Of course you do.
But, it's frustrating.
He was great. He won a championship with you, and he's been nothing but awesome for the Red Sox. I don't know what the hell happened, when this started going south, who did what to whom, who is to blame, how, but there was, my God, there was an iceberg underneath.
Sure was.
That. Dirty water.
Keep Stefan Diggs off all boats this summer. Like, just like, let's lock in, all Patriots. Right. You know what I mean?
Okay.
No, I gotta turn my back.
But I just, again, the fact that they applauded him saying, I will play wherever you ask of me. Like, hey, it's just like, Okay. Yeah, he should. He should.
You see all the zeros on that check?
Should. Is that a sign of our times that we're applauding something that is just something that should be the default?
Always down to drink.
Hard work, dedication, teamwork. But again, I believe he gave the Giants their first lead last night.
Yeah, of course. He's going to rake. He's a professional raker.
He ripped it in right center field.
Yeah, that's what he does.
Ripped it. Man. All right, we will take a break. Mark Schlereth.
Hey!
He's about to join us next here on the Rich Eisen.
He's probably like, what?
Look in the potty, mama. I'll play first.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Even the safest drivers still encounter unsafe conditions, so it's important they do it in a safe vehicle. And Hyundai's offer available Class Executive Advanced Safety features to help keep you protected against the many challenges the road throws your way. Basically, in a Hyundai, you can drive as safely as possible and enjoy your journey in confidence and style. When you change lanes, signal, check for traffic, and enjoy the added safety of Hyundai's available blind spot view monitor. Constantly scan for dangers and take advantage of Hyundai's standard forward collision avoidance assist to help prevent accidents by alerting you of imminent collisions and automatically applying the brakes. Stay alert at all times and be thankful that Hyundai's standard driver attention warning system monitors your attention levels and can bring your focus back on the road. Safety is all about making the right decisions on the road and when selecting a vehicle. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for details. Let's talk Sleep Number, people. If you're like me, then you are just not yourself when you get a bad night's sleep. Look, sleep plays an important, crucial role in recovery. We're all unique in what we need from our bed, too. That's where Sleep Number can step in. Sleep Number smart beds are the best beds for couples because you can individualize each side. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. It's just 10 numbers apart, but we like our side of the bed the way that we like it. Being able to adjust your bed's firmness after working out, too, for recovery, it's game-changing. So, why choose a Sleep Number smart bed? I just told you, but I'll do it again. So you can choose your ideal comfort on either side. The only bed that lets you make each side firmer or softer whenever you like. Your Sleep Number setting. And now it's the Sleep Number 4th of July sale. Save over $600 on the Sleep Number P5 King Smart Bed, the lowest price of the season. Limited time, exclusively at a Sleep Number store near you. See the store or sleepnumber.com for details. We're just talking about training camp. At least when you got to training camp, you had the 5-star accommodations, right, Mark? Back in the day, the mini bar.
Oh yeah,
right.
Oh yeah. Back I mean, nothing says 5-star more than Greeley, Colorado, or even when I played in Washington.
Yes.
Our training camps were in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, and we were held in the ladies' dorms. That's where the players were. So not only are you miserable, and that was back when you practiced twice a day and you beat the living snot out of one another, and Joe Gibbs' practices were all full pads, full contact, full go all the time. And then in the middle of the night, you know, you're sore and you're beat up. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. You have to shuffle off into the ladies' bathrooms. There's no urinals. So you got to pee in a, you know, in a toilet, right? And oh my God, it was a nightmare. Just a nightmare.
Oh my God. Well, moving on back to the here and now, Mark Schlereth. Let's jump into it. Which team, based on everything you got from mini camps and everything like that, are you most looking forward to seeing all 18 of their games, all 17 of their games, 18 weeks of their season. What do you got?
Yeah, I think there's two teams in the AFC that really resonate with me because I think they've got a lot to prove. Yes. Like, I think the Buffalo Bills, as good as they are, and they play in maybe arguably the weakest division in football in the AFC East, the Bills, like, it feels like if they don't go to a Super Bowl, then it's just a failure. Like, the season's for naught. And I feel the same way about the Ravens. And I think it was fair a couple of years ago to point the finger at Lamar, even a year ago, and say, hey, Lamar's got to play better in the playoffs. When the playoffs roll around, that dude's got to play better. And I think he's acquitted himself quite well. So then it becomes, hey, the Ravens, man, you guys have to make decisions. You can't quit running the ball. You have got to, as a coaching staff, put your players in a position to win. So I think they've got a ton of pressure on them because anything short of a Super Bowl to me is a failure. And then if you look like in the NFC, I think probably the coach with the most, like in Buffalo, Sean McDermott has a ton of pressure on him as well, right? As does John Harbaugh, because they haven't won a championship. They haven't won an AFC championship or gone to the Super Bowl and won a Super Bowl championship with Lamar, who's been a multiple MVP winner. And then I think in San Francisco, I know a lot of people talk about the injuries and, hey, you're moving off of, you know, veteran players and you're going to have a lot of young players playing for you. I really think this is a really good team, but ultimately this falls on Kyle Shanahan with all the pressure that he has on him because he is the guy, in my mind. Everybody talks about it, what a great play caller he is, what a great head coach he is. I've witnessed it firsthand. I played for his father. The guy is an amazing, amazing coach. But you know what? You've gotten to the Super Bowl twice, and you've lost it. And, you know, one of them was an overtime decision that is very questionable to take the ball last, to essentially receive the football when Patrick Mahomes is on the other side. So there's a lot to prove there as well. So it really, yeah, I mean, it's right around the corner. I cannot wait.
So let's talk about this here. Super Bowl or bust teams, right, in terms of whether their season is viewed as ultimately successful, although, you know, technically all 32 teams should have that sort of pressure placed upon them of expectations. Would you put Buffalo and Baltimore in that category? Kansas City's in that category, right? Wouldn't you say that?
Sure. Although they've been to 5 and 1 3 of them. So you know what? I mean, I wouldn't be, listen, man, as a former Bronco, I wouldn't be pissed off if a lot of bad things happened to them and they didn't win any games. So,
right.
That wouldn't bother me in the least, but yeah, they've got such great expectations. As much as I try to hate them, Andy Reid is a great human being. I love him. And I, as much as I want to hate Mahomes, I just can't seem to bring myself to hate the guy because he's so good. He's so much fun to watch. So yeah. I root against him, but not really. It's just kind of, you know, just good old fashioned sports hate.
Yeah. I mean, he's Steph Curry in cleats. So there's, but I'm just talking about Super Bowl or bust, right?
Right.
Let's see who else would be Super Bowl or bust. You put Philadelphia in that regard. What about Detroit? Last year, that was their sense. Last year, but not anymore because they lost their coordinators. Or what do you think?
No, I think you still have to. I think one of the things that people don't talk about, and I don't know if you and I talked about this or not, but like Dan Campbell, you know, Dan Campbell plays the role of meathead well, and I don't think people really understand how smart and how good a coach he is. And what an offensive, you know, what an offensive guy he was. Remember when he came to Detroit, like it was, I don't want to say begrudgingly, but it took a little time to give the offense over to Ben Johnson. And they worked that in unison. And Ben is incredible now in Chicago. But Dan had a lot to do with how that offense has been established and the way they run that offense. So I give them a lot of credit on that. I'm with you on Detroit. Detroit is so talented. Now they lost, you know, the interior of their offensive line that scares me a little bit. Frank Ragnow decides to retire. There's going to be some mixing and matching there, some new guys playing. And you could make a very compelling argument that last year they were, you know, one or two as far as offensive lines is concerned in the National Football League from just a talent perspective and the way they play the game. So that's a big turnover to me. They should get so healthy on defense. They should get so many players back on defense, Aiden Hutchinson and the like, that that seems to hopefully rectify itself, so to speak, even with a new coordinator.
I mean, I got to be honest with you. That kind of exhausts, at least in my mind, a sense of Super Bowl or bust candidates, because there are tons of them where it's playoff or bust. I would imagine for the Cowboys, it's NFC Championship game or bust, so at least they can get to that point. I'm wondering if Washington's in that regard, because if they don't make it that far, then it's a step back in terms of, you know, how far they went, unless they're still so young in the process, still early in the process. Right? I mean, I don't
Yeah, Washington's interesting because I don't think anybody expected that level of success. And I did week two. I did Giants at Washington. And if we had truth serum for Dan Quinn, he'd tell you I didn't expect to go that. Like, I didn't expect to go that far.
Right.
Not at that moment. Now, I will say this. The young quarterback, you watched him week in and week out just address the mistakes and not repeat mistakes, which is huge. Like, hey, I understand the mistakes are going to happen. It's when you don't repeat those mistakes. But look how many, what was it, 9 one-score games that they won or something of that nature, all the fourth down conversions that they had. You would have to think at some point you're kind of going to regress a little bit in your fourth down conversion opportunities, in you know, the one-score games. You might lose a couple of those. So, you would think they'd have to come back a little bit, but that's a good team. They did address the left tackle position. They addressed it with Deebo Samuel, so they went out and got a few more weapons. And I'm a big Dan Quinn fan. I love, you know, just the attitude and the attention to detail. And like, you walk out on that football field on Friday practice, man, and they are dialed in as a staff and as players. So they've got really great, you know, culture and chemistry on that football team.
Let's talk about somebody a little close to home, Mark Schlereth. What is the valid, legit level of expectation of the Broncos? What do you think?
Yeah, I think that you got to look at them. They go to the playoffs last year. They win 10 games. They get throttled by Buffalo in the playoffs. I would look at two things. Defensively, they were a top defense last year. They've addressed Hufanga in the middle of the football field, safety position, and Greenlaw. And if Greenlaw is healthy after, you know, coming off that Achilles tendon that he only played a handful of games last year, If that guy's healthy, that dude is a football playing Jesse, man. That guy can flat play. So I love watching him. I think they've addressed that defense quite well. They also went out and got a tight end. They have not had a tight end really, like, gosh, Owen Daniels, maybe the last guy that was real productive at the tight end position. They went out and got Evan Ingram. So, like, that in theory, from a passing standpoint, a split out standpoint, Sean Payton always calls them jokers, guys that can play multiple positions, you know, carry the ball on jet sweeps and do all that stuff. So I think that definitely creates a bonus for Bo Nix in the passing game. And then they've got to fix the running game, Rich. Bo Nix was their best rusher last year. They were not very good running the football. If they can do that, like, I don't know how much better their record will be because of the division they play in. The Raiders have gotten better under the changes that they have made with Pete Carroll and the likes. I think the Chargers, who beat the Denver Broncos twice last year, are formidable, and I love the way they're built from the inside out under Jim Harbaugh. And obviously, you got the Chiefs. So I don't know that their record's going to be much better than 10-7. Maybe they win one extra 11 games. But I do think they'll be more competitive, and I think they'll be better if they get to when they get into the playoffs. And I'm assuming they're going to get to the playoffs.
Yeah, man. I mean, they drafted Jahdi Barron, right? You know, and they got the defensive player of the year also playing corner. Hufanga now joins this secondary, as well, as you mentioned. Nick Benito, defensive player of the year type resume from last year. Zach Allen, as good as they come. Dre Greenlaw. I mean, that's just John Franklin Myers. Not many people mention him. You got the offensive line appears to be, you know, improved as well. I love the drafting of R.J. Harvey. Not a lot of people were talking about him at the combine, yeah. obviously, and for top 30 visits. The signing of Dobbins, too. I mean, I think they're improved, Mark. I really do
I think they are, too. Tougher schedule. You're not sneaking up on anybody like you did a little bit last year, right? I'm with you on R.J. Harvey, and I'll be honest. Like, I cover the draft. I look at, like, the first rounders. You're like, who's coming out in the first round?
Right.
I didn't know R.J. Harvey from Adam. So then, of course, as soon as they drafted him, because I still do my radio show in Denver, I'd start, you know, digging into the film.
Right.
And that dude can play. That dude can play. And he is one of those guys that is dynamic. He runs tough between the tackles, got great contact balance. He's elusive between the tackles. But he seems to me to have breakaway speed. And I know they didn't use him a lot in the passing game. But if you look at Dobbins and R.J. Harvey as kind of a Kamara slash Ingram,
right.
like Sean Payton had back in the day in New Orleans, like that could be a pretty fearsome group right there. So I'm excited about their running back room because I thought it was the biggest weakness they had on their football team, and I think they've addressed it quite well.
Mark Schlereth here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, first time we're talking with Aaron Rodgers, now signed, sealed, delivered to the Steelers. How do you think that's going to work, fit, look, the whole business? What do you think?
Yeah. I did a game late. I did that Jacksonville game late December, and
he looked great.
Devontae Adams had over 200 yards, you know, and Rodgers was orchestrating stuff. And so I'm doing the game. I sat down with Rodgers for close to an hour, and we talked. We probably talked for 20 minutes on just the run game, and how honestly, schematically, Rich, and I know it's your Jets. But schematically, it's the worst run game I've ever watched on film. It like what you guys are doing. I had no idea. Like it was like, I cannot believe that they're actually coaching this. And so Aaron and I talked for 20 minutes just on the inefficiencies of the run game, or 25 minutes on that. And then, you know, just the way he was playing, and early in the season, he had an ankle and then a hamstring and he couldn't move. And, you know, he was really limited. Toward the end of the season, when I dug through the three games that I always watch as I'm prepping, you know, I'm breaking down the coach's film, three games, I was like, damn, like Aaron can play. And then I'm watching him pregame on Sunday morning. And pregame, I'm watching him throw the football versus the way a bunch of 25-year-olds throw the football. And it's like varsity versus JV. Like, that dude can still rip it. I mean, rip it. And once he started feeling decent and healthy toward the end of the season for the Jets last year, that dude started playing really good football. Now, again, he's 41 years old. So can you stay healthy? Can you keep him upright? I will say this about Arthur Smith. Arthur Smith, their offensive coordinator, flat knows how to run the ball. Understands how to change personnel groupings, understands, you know, the multiple tight ends and all the things that they'll use. And that was a big issue for Rodgers, their lack of a running game and the lack of understanding in the running game and marrying the running game to your play action game. If you put that stuff together, and, you know, these are two ifs, if that's together, like Aaron, there's no question Aaron's going to be able to diagnose it, figure it out, and do his thing. But if he's healthy, and you've got that kind of run game mixed with that play action game, he's going to tear it up.
How did he respond when you talked about what you saw in the run game last year, if you're willing to share? I mean, was he?
Oh, yeah. What he went on, Aaron is one of those dudes. He can tell what coverage you're in by the front you're playing.
Yeah, right.
Like he just, like the guy just, he just understands football at an unbelievable level. And sometimes he'll get on a diatribe. I find this fascinating. I love it. Where he's talking, we're talking together, but he's really going through it in his mind. You could see him with the pictures in his mind going, you know, we're running, you know, a belly weak, and, you know, you got a one technique, and, you know, you're going to have to hug. Cut back to the backside A gap, but we're stretching it on the front side. Like, he's just going to town. And I'm like, because I've seen it all, I'm like, 100% correct. What are you guys doing? You need to gap that up to the middle linebacker as opposed to stretching out wide. Like all these different things that you think of as an offensive lineman, and he is talking the game as though he plays guard. Like, and I find that most guys can't do that. Most guys outside their position can't talk about the problems in other positions. I always think the greatest coaches and the greatest players have a wonderful understanding of everybody's issues and everybody's problems. So if you can understand what the problem is of the defense or the coverage, you know, then you have a better chance to attack it. And there's nobody I've ever talked to, he, Brady, a couple of guys, that have a better understanding of everybody's issues on a football field at one time.
Yeah, it's not the neck up. It's will the neck down be able to, you know, withstand 18 weeks of a regular season and then beyond all that. And I think obviously Arthur Smith, as you said, he knows how to run the football, you know, and even Falcon fans would say that they would say that he didn't give it to one guy enough, you know, but
right.
Other than that, you know, he, Tomlin, Rodgers, they're going to be same page. I really believe it. Just there's just a lot of question marks around that I can't wait to see answer in arguably the toughest division of football. So
yeah, well, you started this whole thing with the Tennessee Titans. Unlike the Tennessee Titans, we're going to see a lot of Pittsburgh Steelers.
Damn straight you are. I know. I mean, the league sensed that Rodgers was coming. Why else would they put him in the home of the Jets week one? You know what I mean? So
yeah.
Do you know what your week one assignment is yet, or that's still to come?
I have no idea yet, okay. So that is still to come.
Okay, brother. Thanks for the time, Mark. You're the man. Look for more of my calls during the summer, training camp, all that. I love chopping it up with you.
Absolutely, Rich. Take care, buddy.
You got it. That's Mark Schlereth, Fox Sports. Obviously, multiple Super Bowl wins as well.
Yes,
and I know how he feels about the Jets. I once upon a time saw a Super Bowl ring of his on his middle finger.
Savor every last drop of summer with Starbucks. From bold refreshers to rich cold brews, the sunniest season only gets better with a handcrafted iced beverage in your hand. Available for a limited time. Your summer favorites are ready at Starbucks.
With a Venmo debit card, you can Venmo more than just your friends. You can use your balance in so many ways. You can Venmo everything. Need gas? You can Venmo this. How about snacks? You can Venmo that. Your favorite band's merch? You can Venmo this. Or their next show? You can Venmo that. Visit Venmo.me/debit to learn more.
You can Venmo this, or you can Venmo that. You can Venmo this, or you can Venmo that.
The Venmo MasterCard is issued by the Bancorp Bank N.A. pursuant to license by MasterCard International Incorporated. Card may be used everywhere MasterCard is accepted. Venmo purchase restrictions apply.
Susie Schuster is here, Women's Sports Now. The set is put together. They're about to sit down. Did I earn myself an appearance on today's show or no?
Was that still being discussed? I just might internally? Let you come on. I don't know. I'm thinking about it.
Right.
We were supposed to have Andrea Carter on today, and we're sending our best to her. She had something she had to take care of. She's going to find a different day.
I'll fill in.
Well, you know, there might be a possibility of that. Right, we have good. A lot to talk about, so if we don't have a guest, we're happy to use the time.
Okay, all right, listen.
But
all right, very good.
Don't get all bristly. I'm just saying that we have a lot to talk about.
Is that a word?
That was a little bristly.
Bristly?
Bristly.
Yeah, bristly.
Okay. I'm bristling.
Yeah, bristly.
All right.
Was he a little bristly there?
Yeah, a little bit.
Is he a little punchy, a little chippy?
It's something that he likes to do, just invite himself on people's shows. So, you know, it's okay for you to push back.
What else have I invited myself on?
Literally every person with a show has been on the show.
Okay, that's amazing. The gloves are off.
I don't appreciate that characterization. I think it's false and misleading.
The nickname thing did outlive its use
terrible.
For a while.
I would agree with that.
Also, your beard was much darker than.
I know. What can I tell you?
Wow, fighting words.
I'm a fine wine otherwise. It's fine.
We're just pointing out flaws today.
It's okay.
I think he's very handsome. That said, we did have dinner last night with our friend the law and her new boyfriend who had.
TJ Jefferson knows very
TJ.
Well.
TJ. We had dinner with Goldberg last night.
I heard.
And
by the way, for everyone out there, it's not the wrestler Goldberg. Okay.
That would be amazing.
That would be amazing. Okay. That'd be so much cooler.
I have a feeling we're saving Mahomes for
so
tomorrow now.
Well, if it was like, can you imagine like the law with Goldberg? Now that would be.
I'm picturing it. And,
Well, at any rate, you two talk with each other.
Well, this digressed.
No, you guys talk amongst yourselves.
Is Kupo still cool with TJ yesterday?
So you were driving around listening to the show and heard TJ say that Taylor's our favorite?
Yeah. So, and he looks at me and goes, oh, Mom. Yeah, that's what I thought.
Oh,
I was like, TJ.
TJ.
And then by the time he gets out of the car with his buddy Owen...
Mm-hmm.
TJ wanted to try to undo it, then double down. Luckily, I was in the car by myself.
Okay, so way to screw up my family life, TJ.
He's doing okay.
Way to do
Look,
that.
Look, I'm not the one who made the list. And by making lists, I mean wrote the list or came up. I'm just asking.
By the way, great list that I came up with earlier today. Now I'm really happy with my number one on the
Susan,
power rankings
list. What list? What's the list?
Susie, your husband came up with the corniest list ever.
What was the list?
The number one player that's in need of a championship.
Not Luka Doncic, not Lamar, not Josh Allen, not Mike Trout, but Dak Prescott out of all the people.
And then the one more is everybody TJ roots for. That's up on the screen, including Grimace.
Oh, wow.
The only one smiling on that screen.
Wow, Harden.
Yeah, he needs one.
Yep.
Alonzo, Playoff P, Embiid, James Franklin could use one.
Yep.
And Grimace. Well, Grimace wins one, then Alonzo wins one.
The United States Soccer Federation presents the U.S. Soccer Podcast.
Inside the opening 45 seconds. What a goal! With that cannon of a left foot. All even at one.
Never miss a game.
What a start for the United States.
Shot for distance. What a goal!
Never miss a moment.
Exquisite from the San Diegan.
Can he finish? Yes, he can! Yeah!
The U.S. Soccer Podcast. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.